Arizona guy, Diddy here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Thank you once again for making On the Menu Live a part of your Saturday diet. And all I have to say to you on this gorgeous Southern Arizona afternoon is greetings from Elgin, Arizona. We are broadcasting live from the majestic Keith Joshua Vineyards. You cannot go to Elgin, Arizona and not hit Keith Joshua. But it's not just all about the magnificent wines here at Keith Joshua. We're actually broadcasting live from the annual Chili Cook-Off and Winemaker Chopped Cooking Competition, where four area vintners are actually coming together to see if their culinary skills are just as impressive as their winemaking skills. And this is happening all weekend long. I could not be happier than broadcasting live deep under another Southern Arizona sun than right here at Keith Joshua Vineyards. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, when we plan every week, fellow foodies, it's a very intentional decision who our celebrity co-host is going to be. And for this show, this guy just fits. Because when you're thinking about chili, when you're thinking about the competitive spirit of the bowl full of goodness, when you're thinking about a man who has a passion for chili, there's only one that I know. He is the former National Executive Director for the Chili Appreciation Society International, the Colonel himself, Mr. Ted Fichtel, is in the house.
That be me.
Brother Ted, how are you, sir?
Well, I am so fine, and I'm so privileged to be here with you, and you don't know how much we are honored by having your voice here at this event.
It's like every time I open up my voice, I wonder, where's everyone going? We just started.
Yeah.
But anyway, you just got done emceeing the first annual Faux Chopped cooking competition, trying to see if the vintners down here in Elgin know a thing or two about cooking. We're going to get to that part of the program here in just a minute. But Ted, a way to your heart is a bowl full of chili.
A bowl of red.
And you take seriously a bowl of red, don't you?
A bowl of red. I learned long ago that there are three categories of food. There's fast food, and there's fine food, and then there's everything in between. And at the upper range of everything in between is chili!
Woo! When I heard that you were the National Executive Director for the Chili Appreciation Society International, affectionately known as CASI, I was blown away. There's actually an organized group that has as its mission supporting and promoting the awareness of what chili is and what it means in the culture here all over the Americas.
501c3 charitable organization, been in place since 1967, raises $2 million a year.
You've got to be
on
kidding me.
Chili has 694 subordinate organizations called PODs, and we're all over the United States and in four countries.
Oh, my gosh. So what is it about chili that deserves such international attention? What is it about the bowl of red that you say is something that sparks, that ignites the passion across all the competitors that I see here? And they're not just Arizona competitors. They're from all over the country here today.
Well, we had Texas. We had California. We had northern Arizona. We had New Mexico. It's great. Here's what it is. People look at chili and they think automatically it's something that get out of a can. The history of chili is nuanced and technical. It started with the chuck wagon cooks, where they had dried beef and dried peppers, and they learned to make a chili base out of sauce, and out of the peppers you make a sauce, and that you rehydrate the meat, and that became the basis for CASI chili. The beans were there, but they were always on the side. If you put beans in chili, you don't know beans about chili.
Spoken like a true competitor. I see a lot of high fives going on right
now.
There's a lot of people all on the competition circuit that agree with exactly what you just said. So how – this is a CASI-sponsored or sanctioned common event. So it's not like anybody can just show up. If they think they make a great bowl of chili, you can't just show up and compete against some of these world masters.
Very strict rules. You cannot have – we are judged, independently judged, consistency, aroma, color, taste, and aftertaste. Aftertaste is a pseudonym for heat. The bowl of chili must be a smooth, attractive combination of meat and sauce. And when the judges get in there, the first thing they do is they lift that judging cup to their nose and take in the aroma. Then they look at the color. Then they stir it for consistency. Then they lift the spoon and taste it, and it is taste and aftertaste. Mm. They give each cup a score from 1 to 10, 10 being the best. The top 10 chilies move on in competition. The winner gets 4 points. And in order to qualify for the World Series of Chili at Terlingua, Texas, every year on Halloween weekend, you got to get 12 points.
Oh, my gosh. So the real deal. This is serious stuff. So now, in addition to being a certified executive with CASI, lifetime member, former national executive director, you've spent some time on the competitive circuit yourself. What's that like, competing?
I cooked for 5 years. We traveled for East Texas, West Texas, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and I had a ball. I came home one day and my wife said to me, "You're having so much fun, I think I'll join too." That was the beginning of the end for me. She has kicked my butt for 5 years. That's why I had to become national director. I had nothing else to do. I couldn't cook anymore. It is so amazing. People say, well, it all tastes alike. It doesn't taste alike.
No way.
It is nuanced and subtle and quite technical. If you try to find the right combination of chili powders to produce color and aroma, that's a challenge, I'll tell you right now.
Seriously. And, you know, let's just give nods to your beautiful wife, Sunny. Hers is the first chili I tasted because I figured, look, if I'm going to start anywhere, it's going to be with Sunny's. Was it like a Cocopelli chili?
Oh, yeah. That's our trade name, Cocopelli chili.
Absolutely gorgeous bowl of red. That's what chili is supposed to be.
Well, in Terlingua, Texas, where the World Series is held every year, over 300 cooks show up out of the many thousands of cooks we have across the country. They compete in the World Series, and there's like 6 rounds of judging. And I don't want to brag on my wife, but she has twice
been
14th in the world.
Them are serious creds right there for Sonny Fitzel. Anyway, we are talking to Colonel Ted Fichtel, the former National Executive Director for Chili Appreciation Society International, helping us understand a thing or two about this bowl of red. Which we are all celebrating our allegiance to. We're going to take a quick commercial break, thank a couple of sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to continue with Colonel Retired to talk about what this whole Chopped cooking competition was. I had the privilege of serving as a judge, one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. In the meantime, you're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The culinary excellence of Chef Victor Padilla continues to make news on Tucson's dinner scene, but it's his brand new brunch menu that's all the buzz these days at his Hot Foothills Eatery, Commoner & Co. Victor's passion for food anchors each of his Sunday morning and midday meals, from the shrimp and creamy grits with mussels and calabrese salami to the commoner waffle with fresh berries, smoked honey, and bourbon butter. Yeah, I said it, bourbon butter! Or check out Victor's take on a Southwest classic, the pork carnitas chilaquiles, dotted with avocado, red radish, and a sunny egg, then lovingly drizzled with a house-made guajillo sauce. Throw in a couple rounds of commoner Bloody Marys or mimosas, and you have all the makings for the perfect weekend wrap-up. Brunch is served every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget to come back on Monday night for half-off bottles of wine. Brunch is the bomb this season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cold. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
Also broadcasting live deep in the heart of another beautiful, happy Southern Arizona day in Elgin, Arizona. We're coming to you live from Keith Joshua Vineyard in Elgin, having a great time raising our glasses of great Arizona wine, and I mean that, fellow foodies, some great Arizona wine. This event is happening all weekend long. We got chili cook-off, we got a salsa tasting tomorrow, we got live music, all kinds of great stuff. Make sure that tomorrow, right here at Keith Joshua, is on your calendar. We're back with our celebrity co-host. He's with us for the full hour. He's the former National Executive Director of the Chili Appreciation Society International. Colonel Ted Fignall is back with us.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
So people want to learn a little bit more about this organization, this 501c3 that has as its mission to really promote the awareness of what that bowl of red is. Cassie, how can they find them online?
Well, first of all, I recommend everybody go to www.cassiechili.net. And you will learn everything. It's a wonderful new and modern and user-friendly website. It gives you the history. It gives you the rules. Gives you recipes if you want to come and join us.
Great. C-A-S-I, yeah. CassieChili.net.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
going to
go there right now. So, as we said, you got done just a few minutes ago emceeing an hour-and-a-half-long culinary competition where four area vintners brought it all to the competition to see if they knew a thing or two about how to cook in addition to making wines. Tell us a little bit about how this Chopped program went.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, nobody ever questioned the skill of the cooks. The issue was, can somebody here in Southeast Arizona pull this off? Jeff and Charlene came up with the idea. I'm an old Chop fan. We called them. We've been doing a cook-off here for years. Said, can we do this? We said, yes. They did everything. The pantry, the mystery box, the physical layout. We had a rehearsal 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
and we said, we can do this. And so it was. It got announced, and we brought four vintners in who may or may not have known anything about cooking. Turns out they did.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
We brought three judges in, at least two of which knew something about cooking. Sorry, Matt. And for 2 hours, we sampled entree, judged according to Chopped rules. I mean, appetizer, entree, and dessert. And one chef was eliminated at each course. And the champion was crowned after an assessment of the entire menu meal.
And it was beautiful. And the four vintners that participated, Anron Cohen from Lightning Ridge Cellars, Gary Ellum from the Village of Elgin Winery, Lori Reynolds from Sonoyta Vineyards, Keith Manning from Keith Joshua Vineyards. And I got to tell you, as a judge, and I am being flanked by two incredible chefs, Patrick Belarchik, who some of our listeners will know for years was the executive chef at Union. He's down in your neck of the woods now in Sierra Vista running his own restaurant. Am I right? Former 2014 Iron Chef of Tucson, John Hone, with Gap Ministries. I mean, I was trembling in the presence of two world-class chefs. I mean, I was just sort of like bumbling along.
Don't be so humble, Matt. You know your way around a dinner plate.
But I got to tell you, Ted, when those vintners... Watching them work, I was blown away. Because, look, they make great wines. These are winemakers extraordinaire that have put Arizona on the map when it comes to the wine scene. But watching them prepare the dishes out of, you know, in a spontaneous way, because the ingredients are unveiled literally right before they start prepping their dishes. They have 35 minutes to do an appetizer, entree, and dessert each. I was blown away by the level of sophistication from these now chefs. I think they're legitimate chefs now.
Well, let's talk about what they're in. Sophistication had to address.
Yes, let's do it.
The ingredients. Think about this. This is an appetizer using ground veal, Italian-style breadcrumbs, spaghetti rings in a can, and mushroom. Partner, if I had to do an appetizer out of that, I'd have to leave home.
Until watching the expression on the faces of the competitors when they looked at the can of SpaghettiOs. And they just did not quite know what in the world they were going to do. And each and every competitor creatively used SpaghettiOs in ways that I could never even imagine.
It was unbelievable. You know, I would have been inclined to just put it on the plate as a side. There were people who made croquettes out of SpaghettiOs.
Right.
It was unbelievable. And by the way, while I didn't taste them, I could tell from the smile on your face, it was good stuff.
Happy judges. A slate of
happy judges.
What were the ingredients for the entree course?
The entree course was turkey breast, tenderloin, canned chipotle peppers in adobo sauce, small baby cabbages.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
And black olives.
This was, I think, a very, whoever decided what the ingredients were going to be, as I said during the competition, they knew their food because they knew the smokiness of the chipotle, the brine, the salt from those black olives, really beginning to bring in, you know, all kinds of flavors that would play well together in a dish.
And yet, if you looked at those ingredients just from the point of view of what is obvious, you might not have taken the opportunity to combine them in some nuanced way.
Exactly right. You know? Again, and the tough part about this, Ted, as you said, every course we had to chop one of the contestants.
That's right.
So we all came down to the very end where there was two that were competing against each other for the finals, and it was for the dessert course. Now, what were the ingredients that were revealed during the dessert basket?
Brownie brittle toffee crunch. Butterscotch pudding snacks in a plastic can, toasted chocolate coconut chips, and yogurt-covered pretzel nips.
Man, I'm telling you. Again, I was watching Keith Manning. The first thing he did is he ripped off the plastic lid of the butterscotch pudding. He dunked his pinky into it. He tasted it, and I cannot even put into words the expression on his face. Like, oh, my goodness, what in the world am I going to do with this?
What a face.
But they killed it.
They killed it. And they killed it understanding what the composition of things were. Some added sour cream. Some added rich cream to that pudding and turned it into a mousse.
Yeah, a mousse.
And a wonderful sauce.
Yes.
You just can't get more creative.
Yeah, even
that.
Keith did like a candy-coated crackle, like a little, almost like a brulee on top of like a peanut crostini with a beautiful kind of wine sauce underneath. Just beautiful.
I don't know that in 2.5 hours time, you could have seen more concentrated creativity against a list of highly adversarial products.
Exactly right. And they all had their respective cheering sections.
Oh, boy, they did.
I mean, they were out. Some even had, like Lori Reynolds, she brought home every member of the Reynolds family. They all had Team Lori t-shirts on. They were in to win.
And may I say, they were rowdy, Matt.
they
were rowdy.
We're going to go take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're actually going to do a little round robin of all the participating vintners. We're going to be beginning the conversation with Ann Roncone from Lightning Ridge Cellars. You don't want to miss one delicious sip. This is On the Menu Live, and we're broadcasting live from Keith Joshua Vineyard. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
That Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at Keith Joshua Vineyards in the lovely town of Elgin, Arizona, here with my celebrity co-host, the former National Executive Director of the Chili Appreciation Society International, Colonel Retired Ted Fichtel.
Thank you, Mr. Matt.
Always fun hanging out with you, sir.
My pleasure.
So our next guest, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I'm sitting here judging what this lady is doing. Now, look, she makes wine for a living. She's a winemaker. She knows about grapes. But she's making stuff like, you know, an olive and artichoke and chipotle compote. She's bringing tarragon into a cream sauce. She's making veal meatballs. A little feta bruschetta. Say that three times fast. And she does wine for a living. I'm, like, just nervous that she's going to be on the show. I don't even know how I'm going to, you know, interview this lady because of her street creds. Now on the wine side and the food side, from Lightning Ridge Cellars, and Ron Cohen is here.
Right. And thank you.
How in the world are, now do you obviously know a thing or two about food.
You know, I have fun. My wheelhouse is mostly Italian cooking. Venture out a little bit here and there from there, but it's pretty much, you know, stick with, and like our wines, Italian varietals. So.
Right. And the pairings were just spot on, I thought. I mean, just watching you, this imagination kind of manifest and watching you work, and you just had this grace about the way you were doing it. I mean, I saw a lot of people just running around aerobically going crazy. You're like, I got this. I think I got this. And you really produced some delicious dishes. What was it like competing against three of your vintner colleagues here in the Sonoyta Elgin area?
It was fun, but you know, I got to admit, this particular challenge, the fact that you were timed, was daunting. You know, you and you're cooking in your kitchen, you know, maybe you know somebody's coming over at 6 o'clock, but it's
and
not.
And we all know that 35 minutes is more time than they get to cook at home.
So what's telling you about? Tell us about the last 5 minutes.
It wasn't bad, but the first, I think the appetizer round, I had a bit of a head scratcher with those silly, the SpaghettiOs. And I felt like I was pacing back and forth in front of them, like, well, what am I going to do with these things? And I taste them, and it's like, this is terrible. But, yeah, coming up with the bruschetta with the feta cheese and tarragon and the SpaghettiOs, and it kind of worked. So.
It really did. Now, do you remember exactly what wine you paired with that first course?
That was with my Zinfandel.
Okay, so did you ever in a million years, Anne Roncone, think you were going to be pairing a Zinfandel with a SpaghettiO?
I mean,
is that hard to get your head around?
Yes. I still can't believe I did that.
How about an Arizona wine being paired with food on Chopped?
Chopped,
yeah.
Exactly.
Hey.
So get us current on what's happening at Lightning Ridge Cellars. I mean, I love the Sonoyta Elgin wine area. You know, every time Nancy and I come down here, we don't want to go back. We want to send for our things. And just, you know, God has blessed us with having great climate, great soil, great terroir, great people and characters and personalities. Wine works so beautifully down here. What, get us current with Lightning Ridge.
Well, one of the exciting things I planted just last year, it should be coming up this year, was a new, well, not new, but an Italian varietal called Sagrantino.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be great, big, deep tannic, you know, kind of slap you upside the head. So I'm looking forward to what that does.
Nice.
On our site, because our Montepulciano is our flagship wine, and that does quite well. So just looking forward to just playing with some new varietals and trying, I think I'm losing, but trying to stay ahead of Mother Nature, weeds and, you know, just
weeds.
Pestilence.
There go the weeds again. Yeah, pestilence, yeah. And weeds, right. They really can take a toll. But it takes a professional to know how to deal with those disturbances down here in Sonoyta Elgin. But you ever had some of the wines coming out of Lightning Ridge?
Oh, my, yes.
Just world-class, like global.
Absolutely.
Transporting your taste buds to different areas of the world.
And I have to tell you, I see in her wine her character. She's patient.
Yes.
She's calm. She's nurturing. She's mentoring. Now, it doesn't apply to wine, but she also has outstanding knife skills when it comes
Did
to
you
cooking.
Catch that?
Oh.
That wasn't lost on me. I mean, I was going to say, this woman knows a thing or two about prepping. Now, people in our listening audience, which, by the way, is the Americas, and Saturn, probably Jupiter and Mars by next week.
Oh.
You know, ratings, every time Ted Fichtel,
true.
You know, shows up, our ratings go through the roof. But anyway, where can people in Southern Arizona find your wines? I mean, are wine lists in the greater Tucson area? Can people find you retail at some of the, like, Arizona Wine Collective up on St. Phillips Plaza? What they're doing is kind of fun.
Not yet. They're amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, I had an appointment, and they were so patient with me, and then my whole week that week went sideways, and I couldn't make it. So I need to set up another appointment with them. I'd love to get in there, because I don't have anything up in Tucson, because I'm kind of small potatoes as far as production-wise. I make about 1,000, 1,200 cases a year, so I can't really distribute a lot. But I've had many people ask, like, where can we find you in Tucson? So the collective is like a perfect fit.
It would be a great fit. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask all of our guests, but I'm going to ask you first, if I were a varietal and my name was Ann Rincon, what would I be? I mean, when you're thinking about the spectrum of grapes that grow bountifully where we call home, is there one that just has your spirit, your psychology, your personality, your character? What's the one varietal that Ann Rincon cannot live without?
Brunello.
Oh, now talk to us about that.
Sangiovese. It's a specific area in the Tuscany region where they can make that. And it's just, I'm torn. Sometimes it's a Barolo up in the Piedmonte area.
Yes.
But, I always go back to the Brunellos.
Beautiful. What about food? What do you love to pair a Brunello with at the center of the plate? What has that magic pairing potential that you think that that kind of wine deserves?
You know, that's a good one. Brunellos are pretty big. So, if you were a vegetarian, I guess you could do like a grilled portobello, something real meaty that
makes perfect sense.
Would give it. But I would lean more toward, say, a beef tenderloin, match that up with a...
That's what I lean toward.
Absolutely beautiful.
Like a Parmesan garlic aioli and...
Oh, listen to her. Dials it up. Oh, like a champ. Where can our listeners, when they're going to come down to the Sonoyta Elgin region, where can they come visit you at Lightning Ridge? Where are you located?
Our address, we're at 2368 Highway 83. And a lot of people, when they come down to Elgin, the norm, which is fine, but the norm is they'll drive through Sonoyta and make a left turn onto Elgin Road, which many of the wineries are located. But if you do not make that left turn and just keep going straight, we're another 3 miles down, right on Highway 83, past Elgin Road.
Beautiful. And a quick website address so people can learn more about you online?
LightningRidgeSellers.com.
It's that easy. LightningRidgeSellers.com. Yeah. And Ron Cohn from Lightning Ridge, thank you so much for everything that you do. We're going to take a quick news break and thanks to our sponsors. And when we come back, Mr. Ellum himself, Gary Ellum from the Village of Elgin Winery, is going to be here talking not only wine, but rum and bourbon and all the other things that make the world go round. Stick around, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Keith Joshua Vineyards in the beautiful, magnificent town of Elgin, Arizona, for their annual chili cook-off, wine tasting, and winemaker chopped cooking challenge with my celebrity co-host. He's with us for the full hour, and aren't you lucky, fellow foodies? The former national executive director for the Chili Appreciation Society International, the Honorable Ted Fichtel, is back with us.
Thank you, Mr. Matt.
Having so much fun with these world-class winemakers.
I would never have expected these folks to show such skills, but they are top-notch.
I'm serious, and there is a top-notch guy right here. I was like, oh, I want you to pinch me.
Tough
because
competitor.
When someone said I was going to be interviewing Gary Ellum from Village of Elgin Winery, and of course our listeners know Gary behind some great wines that come from Elgin, but also some amazing spirits, major award-winning bourbon, rum, and here to tell us all about how he thinks about food and spirits and wine is from the Village of Elgin Winery. Put your hands together for Gary Ellum.
Oh,
he's in the house.
Thank you.
Gary, welcome, man. How you doing?
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
What was it like competing under the stress and the unforgiving clock when you are going up against three of your colleagues here? I mean, look, the first thing you pull out, you're making meatballs with tomato, saffron, like a reduced cherry Cabernet reduction. You obviously know your way around food, dude.
I'm fat. I know my way around a lot of food.
What's it like? I mean, look, you got Keith, you got Ann, you got Lori, all, you know, great friends of yours down here in the Sonoyta, Elgin area. But your competitors behind the Chopped kitchen, what was it like going up against these guys?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of smack talking that goes along with it. Most importantly, behind the scenes when we're setting up. But and then a few expletives fly when we're having the competition going on. It's definitely PG rated.
Watching you work was like, I mean, it really is. Like Ted and I were talking, sitting there watching people that know food, that love food. You can tell. I mean, we're not getting a bunch of plumbers together and saying, hey, let's make world class. No, I'm going to get the plumbers lobby. He's going to call me and complain. But anyway, we're talking about.
I'll pull my pants down. They'll be happy.
We're talking about people for a living. You have a craft. You understand how flavors work together. And that translated beautifully from whether you're making wines or bourbons or rums right to the center of the plate with food. What do you love cooking with most at home?
At home, honestly, I'm very fortunate. My wife is a phenomenal chef, and so I get to eat mostly what she makes. If I'm making something at home, I thoroughly enjoy Mexican food. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy making Mexican food, but the reality is, in our professional life, living together, working together, owning brewery, winery, distillery, we are constantly doing something. I mean, even we cook constantly, as we say, whether we're actually making food, making beer, or making spirits.
Right.
So we've always got something going on, and we've been known to, because we direct fire our stills, we've been known to throw some hot links in there on top of the burners and cook us a little bit of food while we're making booze.
Beautiful. You know, we're going to be talking about your wines and your spirits here in a minute, but you're also brewing some beer down there?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we started, we were licensed originally in 1999 as the Elgin Brewery, and kind of put it on hiatus because there were some issues with the laws pertaining to having a winery and a brewery on the same property. And so we kind of put the brewery back on the back burner, focused on wine and spirits production. And actually, during the summer, we decided to go ahead and bring the brewery back on board. We ended up buying a brew house to augment our production facility at the distillery, and it was just a natural move to make beer.
I was watching Ted's head nod when you started talking about the challenges of certain laws that kind of get in the way for business people to do what they do. And, you know, you just got to take a page out of the Fickle playbook. If you find a law you don't like, you change the darn law.
That's what I said.
Ted's
had
a career changing laws, making the world a better place for business owners. And, I mean, seriously, he's been an advocate. He's been a legislative strategist. And that's when we encounter, like, roadblocks, we have to get together and fix those.
Right, right. By all means.
Absolutely.
Right. I've been fortunate enough to participate in the legislative process for Arizona liquor laws for quite some time now, and advise several directors and governors and policymakers. So we've been very fortunate in being at the grassroots of it. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that we need to change, a lot of things that need to be clarified and progressed, but all in all, I think we take one small step at a time. This is an industry where, and I'm speaking specifically of the liquor industry,
yeah,
where you've got three tiers. You've got the consumers want one particular thing. The wholesalers want and need a separate thing. The producers need a separate thing. And the retailers need a separate thing. Right. And we just have to find a common ground.
Well, there's one thing that's not going to change is your rum. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Good buddy of mine, Mark Fontaine, sent me a note not too long ago and said, look, I know you're going down to Elgin. Do not miss the rum from Village of Elgin. Now, you've got the name of the distillery is?
It's the Elgin Distillery. Our premier products are bottled under our parent company, which is Arizona Craft Beverage.
Craft Beverage, right.
And we have been fortunate this year. Back in March, we took the best of show, best of class for rum, and gold medal for our Regalo de Vida rum, our grand rum. And it was the number one rum in the United States.
Okay.
And last weekend.
Stop. You can't. So he just says, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
And it was the best rum in the United States. And he started bridging to another point. Stop. You can't just say that. The best rum. So you're beating out hundreds and hundreds of other rums. What is it about yours that you think got the adjudicators all excited?
We use local products.
Yeah, amen.
And everything we do is, we love every aspect of what we do. We love every aspect of what we produce. And there's no reason that shouldn't show through into the final product. For us, everything has to be local. Everything has to be something that we would want to put on the table ourselves. Our rums are aged until we think they're ready. Our whiskeys are aged until we think they're ready. If it isn't good, I'll throw it away. I'll pay the tax on it and I'll throw it away. Okay, I don't care.
If it isn't good, let me give you my number.
Okay.
I hate waste, Gary Allen. So if it's not good, I get it. You've got a sophisticated palate and I understand. If it's not good, I'll bring my truck. I'll just bring it back home. That's fine. Because it's going to be good enough for me. So your rum available locally? Where can people find it?
Actually, the rum is currently only available at the distillery.
Okay.
Or if you have a retail business, you can buy direct from us. We've been extremely fortunate to sell out as quickly as we can put product in bottle.
There it is.
I get in the tasting room, I always get why don't you make more? I'm making more. The problem is that in order to get the product where it needs to be, it has to age.
It takes time. And you can't rush it because if you pull it out too soon, you've got a reputation to uphold. It's got to be perfect for Gary. Now, this bourbon also, you've got a great bourbon that is winning as many awards as your rum is.
Yeah, we've been exceptionally pleased with the progress our bourbon has made. We make two different types of bourbon there at the distillery. We make what we call our Arizona whiskey, which is it's essentially a bourbon that only won 3 golds and 2 silvers last year.
Oh my! Well, you better step up your game, Gary.
I know. And our 100-proof bourbon is the one that really is our pride and joy on the whiskey category. With the gold medal we received at San Francisco over the weekend, we have taken 11 gold medals in the last year.
Beautiful. Now, people in our listening audience, they want to make sure that they don't miss your winery, brewery, distillery when they come down to Elgin. Where are you guys located down here?
We are physically the Village of Elgin. So we're right there as you come across the bridge that brings all 4 roads together. Elgin Road, Upper Elgin Road, Lower Elgin Road, and the Elgin Canelo Road.
That's easy. Okay, so I've asked all of our winemakers, I'm going to ask you, if I were a varietal and my name is Gary Ellum, what would I be? Like you guys started in the whole wine story. What is the one varietal that Gary Ellum cannot live without?
Cabernet,
right to a classic, right to a big, bold, chewy varietal that you say belongs on every dinner table, no matter what you're eating, right?
I believe so.
Right on.
And in particular, our 2005 Cabernet.
Atta, baby. Quick website address so people can learn more about you online.
It's azcraftbev.com and elginwines.com.
All right. You heard it all from Gary Ellum from Village of Elgin Winery. He is making a lot of news, not only with his wines and his beers, but with his rums and his bourbons as well. Get to know this guy. He's a real deal. He can sit and talk to you for hours about what he loves about his craft. And that's when you can tell someone who really enjoys what they do, Ted, when they have such a passion for it. And it exudes from this guy named Gary Ellum. Gary, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks a lot.
Right on, Gary Ellum is here. Now, I got to take a quick look around, and I see Lori Reynolds is around here somewhere. Lori Reynolds is actually talking to her publicist now because it was a big day for Lori Reynolds, Ted Fichtel. So he is going to give the headset over to Lori Reynolds from Sonoyta Vineyards. Now she's getting like TV show proposals now from the Food Network. And anyway, here to help us understand what it takes to actually win a food competition when you actually make wine for a living. She is from Sonoyta Vineyards, the milestone moment of Sonoyta Vineyards. Lori Reynolds is in the house, everybody. Lori, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, but all I got to say is congratulations, girl.
Hey,
seriously.
Thank you.
She went up against some serious competition, and she was the one that is bringing home the hardware for the Chopped competition. I got to say, how does it feel now that you're a celebrity?
I don't know if I'm a celebrity, but it was flipping hilarious because Ann and Keith and Gary are amazing cooks, and I was just like, yeah, so I don't cook. I warm up like chicken nuggets for my kids and macaroni and cheese. That's my idea of cooking. So his whole interpretation of the Gerber stuff is totally accurate.
Yeah,
yes.
When you're presenting the plates, I love it because you said, well, the thing on the bottom is this and this, and then the little thing on the top is this. I just love the fact that there's no grandiosity when it comes to describing a dish. It's just like, look, it's real food made by a real person. Now, how did you prepare for this? I mean, look, you walked away the winner, as you said, against some serious competition. How did you psychologically prepare for this big moment?
I have four children. One of my sons is way into Food Network. And so for the past month, we've been watching Food Network shows. And then he goes into the kitchen and attempts to do what they do on television. And he is seven, and he thinks he's a chef and awesome.
All right, okay, so now have you talked to him? Did you give a call
I
home?
I haven't got to have a call home yet. So I get to take that awesome three-day-old baguette and be like, look, Mommy won, baby.
Chad, is that the trophy?
That's it. And I have to tell you, we had a practice session.
About
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And she knocked it out of the park then.
Oh, whatever. My freaking pork tenderloin was dry enough to, like, for the desert to step on there. But my vegetables were on point.
Right. Yeah, but a chipotle, sour cream, buttermilk, prosciutto, I mean, you're really bringing all kinds of textures and flavor together. And it was an honor for us as the judges to crown this big moment for you now as the winner of the Chopped competition. So get us up to speed on what's happening at Sonoyta Vineyards. I understand that there's an historic element of Sonoyta Vineyards, because when you take a look across the spectrum of wineries in Sonoyta, you are the very place that got this whole thing started, right?
We really are. My grandfather, Dr. Gordon Dutt, is the founder and the grandfather of the Arizona wine industry. In the early 70s, he got a grant from the state to find out what areas in Arizona that could grow grapes, what varieties that could grow, and we have been growing grapes in Arizona for 40 years this April. And, you know, I'm a third generation winemaker here in the state, and I have my fourth generation, four little anchor biters right behind me.
Well, if he's watching the Food Network, he knows the journey.
Dude, he is all over. He was all over the Top Chef Junior Masters or something that was on Channel 4 last night. He's all over that.
So much fun.
But yeah, so I'm really excited to live on the passion and keep making excellent wine here in Arizona.
What are people talking about when you're thinking about the show-stopping wines coming out of Sonoyta Vineyards? What's making news these days?
You know, our Mikasa is one of our top-selling and favorite wines there. It's a Merlot Cab Syrah blend. This year, I actually added a little bit extra Petite Syrah into it, so I'm super excited about the 2014 vintage that I paired with one of the dishes today. And then I have brought back into focus our Cabernet Sauvignon.
Beautiful.
My grandpa's 86 Cab was served at one of the president's inaugural dinners.
What?
And so it really got the back burner for many years. I think the last cab we produced was 04, and when I took over in 2013, I have had a cab since 13, and I just released our 14 cab this last April 7th, and so I'm really excited to put that back on the table to put our cab out there.
Congratulations to you and your team. I mean, those are making big headlines coming out of Sonoyta Vineyards. Now, you were the first ones to get this whole thing started, and God bless your grandfather for...
Thank God for Grandpa, right?
For going against the grain. I mean, let's be serious. He must have had conversations with people for how long ago?
Oh.
40, 50?
40, 45 years ago.
He says, I think I want to grow grapes in Arizona. And he must have been met with shock and awe.
You know, and if it wasn't for the Brophy family who own the Baba Camori Ranch that we're surrounded by, there would never be grapes in Sonoyta. Because it was the Brophy family that Frank and Blank Brophy are the one that donated the land to the University of Arizona to be able to do a test plot. And if it wasn't for them, there would be no grapes in Sonoyta.
So what do you say to the people that have not been to Arizona for wine, that have not walked the trails and ascended the mountaintops of Sonoyta and Elgin? What do you say to them when they ask you, really? Really, Lori? You can really make wine in a climate like Arizona?
You're missing out. Because, you know, there is so many different terroirs around the entire world. And if you are stuck on one certain terroir and that's all you like to drink, well, then go there. But if you want to expand your horizons and you want to see more that's out there, then, you know, you need to taste wines from all over the world, not just Napa.
No, exactly. And you know, I've been to Napa many times, Sonoma many times. You know, we've had, you know, many wine clubs. But I just think we are so blessed to live and play and work in an area. We are literally surrounded by wonderful wine. And we're in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, Ted Fichtel. And we don't have to leave the state to find some world-class wines.
To watch how it has matured over the years. All of the vintners, all of the vineyards have matured. And it's a wonderful thing to experience. We've lived here 35 years. And I can recall some of the first glasses of wines I've had, and now the most recent are splendid.
Just absolutely
exactly.
Splendid. So I've asked all of our vintners today, if I were a varietal, Lori Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
and my name was Lori Reynolds, what would I be?
I would be Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay, second in a row. Okay,
that's...
so Cabernet Sauvignon, not only does it play a special role in your life and in your heart, but it actually is being played with here at your winery. What do you love most about your cab?
I love the deep, rich, just depth of our cab. The color is just so inky. The flavors, we get really lovely earthy flavors. We get a little bit of vanilla, of course, that's from the oak. I do mostly everything in French and Hungarian oak, and I just love the mixture of the French and Hungarian. But then you get this really rich, deep black cherry in there, and I enjoy it. It's such a good, complex wine.
So good. Now, when Ted and I come to your house for dinner tonight, and your 7-year-old is going to cook for us. But now you're an award-winning chef. When I'm tasting your Cabernet, what are you cooking for me tonight? What's at the center of the plate?
Oh, if I had it, it would be a big, rich, flippin' ribeye.
Love her.
With
I
lots
love her.
Of ribeye. And,
there.
Oh, my God. I'm just all over that ribeye.
Tell everybody exactly where Sonoyta Vineyards is located.
We are 3 miles south on 290 Elgin Canal Road of the little town of Elgin. So if you reach the Village of Elgin Winery, we are just 3 miles south on Elgin Canal Road, the only winery down the road on top of a hill. You really can't miss us unless you're really not looking.
There it is. And where can people find you online?
We are at SonoytaVineyards.com.
SonoytaVineyards.com. Her name is Lori Reynolds. She is now the award-winning chef right down here in Elgin with Sonoyta Vineyards. Thank you so much, Lori. Great to see you, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
So, Ted, the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to get a gift card. I'm going to reach into our treasure trove of restaurant gift certificates to see if someone can give us an answer to a trivia question. I thought it might be fun for you to think about a chili-related trivia question that we can ask our listeners. Something fun, something cool, something fresh. Doesn't have to be hard, doesn't have to be easy, whatever. What's a fun trivia question to ask our listeners today?
Well, I'd like to know, what town in New Mexico is considered the chili capital of that state?
Okay, great.
And contributes greatly to the chili industry.
Okay, there's a town in New Mexico that is an historic town because it has relevance in the history of chili.
Absolutely.
And it contributes to the chili economy in the state of New Mexico. We want to know the name of the town.
That's right.
If you think you know the answer, send me a note right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick news break and thank a couple sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to wrap it up with Keith Manning of Keith Joshua Vineyards right on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, you've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell and Ted Pixel, broadcasting live from Keith Joshua Vineyards in Elgin, Arizona. Having so much fun, and we have saved the guy with the home field advantage for last because, he doesn't have far to go home after this. The Meister Man himself, the story behind Keith Joshua Vineyards right here in Elgin. Put your hands together, everybody, for Mr. Keith Manning. And here he is, man. I gotta say, look at your cheering section.
Oh,
here.
No, all of them, both of them,
and they're both named Manning. What a coincidence! So you went down to the finals on this competition.
I did.
What was it like going up against Lori? I mean, we learned she's got some creds, man.
Surprisingly, it was great.
I disagree with the judging, and I think Lori's short and blonde. But no, it's okay.
But you obviously this is not the first time you've been behind a burner.
No,
I watched you. Yeah. I mean, some of the other like John Hone, Iron Chef of Tucson, John Hone. He whispers to me during the competition, and he's like, "Dude, that guy's knife skills are legit.
You're working
that knife like the precision of a surgeon."
I grew up cooking. I grew up in restaurants. It was great money and bad hours. So.
What kind of flavors do you like playing with at home when you're
You know, it just depends. And, you know, I think they really fell apart there in the dessert, and I knew it 100%. But I'm not a sweets person, so I love fish. I love meat. I love it ain't a meal without meat. So.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, now what's your meat of choice? You're going to go home to, I guess you go home from time to time.
Oh,
meat. What's sitting at the center of the plate protein-wise?
Well, generally just kind of varies, but as far as I'm concerned, I love duck and fish.
Oh, nice. Beautiful. So when we're talking about plating up a duck at the Manning House, you know, what are you drinking? What are you pulling out of the cellar? Keith Joshua cellar when you're dialing up a beautiful duck.
Well, generally it depends on, you know, I like whites when the sun's up and reds in the evening.
Man after my own heart. After my own heart.
Yeah, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
So, sounds like John Carlo. Anyway, get us current on what's happening to Keith Joshua these days.
We just finished up the big festival. We'll be doing the chili cook-off again tomorrow. All day tomorrow. If anybody, the salsa competition, live music, and, more chili. So come on down. We got the tasting room here in Wilcox, and, you know, we're always doing something.
So much fun. Yeah.
And I have to say,
you don't have
this community owes so much to Keith Joshua Vineyards.
I'm telling you.
Thanks,
for
Ted.
The activities and events they sponsor that have helped us raise so much money for charity. I just adore these people. They're selfless. They're dedicated. They're committed. And they're good folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Dad.
I mean, this family, it's just they have a heart for the business. They have a heart for the work. And you cast a gaze over the estate here. I mean, from a setting perspective, there's no better place to kick back and have a glass of wine.
And cook chili.
And cook chili, exactly.
Hey, there's not too many bad views out here. So, I mean, we're 5,000 feet up. We're cooler, 10, 15 degrees cooler in Tucson, 20, 25 degrees cooler than Phoenix. 5,000 feet up, rolling grasslands. It's hard to complain.
What are people going to be
saying? We got a bunch of dogs.
We got dogs running around. What are people going to be saying about the 2017 vintage when you're thinking about last year in the bottle? What does that look like? What does it feel like?
It's looking good. I mean, it was really hot. Hottest year on record in Arizona history last year. So crop was down slightly, but, you know, we got a smaller crop with higher concentration. So the flavors, the wine should be beautiful. Come on down, enjoy. I'm looking forward to last year's crop.
Where did you learn how to make wine?
Misspent youth. I started working in a wine shop when I was 15. This is going to be quick.
Two
years in Italy. I got a undergrad in wine technology marketing management from University of Monash in Australia. A master's degree from the University of Melbourne in viticulture and enology. I worked off and on the Australian and in New Zealand industry for about 5.5 years.
You're dead on, mate.
And been here ever since. Good on you.
Where exactly is Keith Joshua Vineyards located? Some people in our listening audience might not have been here before. Where can they find you?
We're in the Sonora to Elgin area, about 45 minutes southeast of Tucson, about halfway in between Tombstone and Nogales. Right down 22 miles short of the Mexican border in the second oldest wine growing region in the country dating back to 1560.
The second oldest?
We create wine grapes in California by 123 years. The
now,
only
how come
one older?
Nobody knows that?
Because nobody pays attention.
Okay, here we go again. Arizona wine making news globally.
Yeah.
It's relevant. It's rewarding. We want everybody to come down to Keith Joshua. Get to know Keith and the family. They're such wonderful citizens. Now, if I were a varietal, Keith Manning, and my name was Keith Manning, what would I be? What's the one varietal that you can't live without, sir?
Oh, geez.
Cabernet
Franc.
Cabernet Franc?
I love Cabernet Franc. Everybody wants to blend it, but you just can't blend this.
Of course, it's right there in a Bordeaux blend.
Yeah.
You love straight 100% Cab Franc?
I love 100% Cab Franc. We do 100% Cab Franc every year, and it's beautiful on its own. Everybody wants to mellow out something else, but let's skip the middleman.
I'm duly inspired by that. Straight Cab Franc.
100% Cab
Franc.
You
have some right here in the winery?
Right now I'm sold out.
Yeah, well,
I got some in barrel. I got some in barrel, and it's coming out in a couple months with the new vintage.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Did we see you in Tucson every now and then?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
People have you on their wine list?
We're available at a lot of different restaurants, resorts, bottle shops, Total Wines, Cost Plus World Market. Am I allowed to plug things here?
You can plug whatever you want.
Okay, yeah,
yes,
we're
that's
there.
Why we're here. Yeah. We want to sell Keith Joshua wine. Yeah,
but I can't say the F word.
You can't do it. You got 45 seconds.
All right,
Anyway, keep at it with Keith Joshua Vineyards. Thank you so much for you and everything you do out here.
You're so excitable.
And Ted Fichtel with Kasi. Just always so much fun. I love you. I love your family. We go way back, and I'm so honored that you had some time in your very busy schedule to give to us right here on the Menu
Live.
Yeah,
all 78-year-old men should have a busy schedule like mine.
There
yeah,
he is. Right. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Ted Fichtel reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the Menu Live. Cheers. Come on down now.
Thanks, guys.